Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Back to Friends of the Pod. Thank you for joining us for part two of our Cthulhu by Gaslight adventure from the newly released Dust and Blood. I wonder what adventure this is. This is the dust one. This is the one about dust.
Yeah. Now I get it.
I kind of guessed that
guess
it was.
What the second one's about. I won't tell. last week we were introduced to our investigators, who are all Victorian employees of Humbert Lange's Dust Yard, the Victorian equivalent of a trash place, a refuse place. And
waste
while we were,
management facility.
Right, as they say in New Jersey. During last week's recording, during the break, Mary Lou said she had a garbage story.
And then
we've gone hours without hearing the story. So I think that that's the best way we can possibly kick off today's session with the garbage story.
Let's hear
my garbage story. So when I was in preschool, so I'm like 3 or 4, right? My dad took me along once to dump like maybe an old couch or something at the landfill. So exciting. Best day ever. Loved it. He's got a big truck. I got to ride in the truck. We got to go to the landfill. Very cool. And then I went to school and told everybody that my dad was a garbage man. And he's an architect. and so we had one of those like back to school or parent teacher meetings. And they were like, so you're a garbage man. And he was like, no, what? huh? But I had gotten it into my mind and told everybody that my dad was a garbage man because I thought that was the coolest thing in the whole world. And
way cooler than architect.
Way cooler than architect. And I was like pretty disappointed to find out that he was not a garbage man. I like pictured like that's where you go to work. Like that's where my dad works.
Trash.
The landfill with all the mountains and mountains of trash. So that's my garbage story.
That's the garbage story. Were you expelled for lying?
I should have been. They were too lenient. They were too lenient with me, which is why I'm like this now. They should have wrapped my knuckles with a ruler. But they encouraged my creativity and imagination. So that's why I'm poor.
Now we're stuck with her. Now we're stuck with her, folks.
Yeah. Huge mistake.
Anybody else have a garbage story? A good trash story. Not a trashy story. We all have those. I'm talking about a real garbage-related story that will knock your socks off.
Real good trash story.
I can't think
how
of
many
like
times.
A good...
How many times have you had to dig through the trash for your retainer?
thankfully zero. I'd never put that back in my mouth. Zero. Nor my hands.
I'm somewhere probably between 5 to 10. I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have we have raccoons that are just wily, and they will find a way into the trash. I've taken great pains, and now finally, I've got the better of them. But There's just, it's a real mess.
For you
got to clean up. Just
what's
like
your secret?
Eating diapers with coffee grinds. I just put the trash in the shed. But one time I left the, I put the trash in the shed.
You're going to get
in
that shed.
Well, I left the shed door open and it was like 7:30, early at night. Just got a little bit dark out and I look out there and I was like, shit.
Trash
I left the shed door open. Hold on. I walk out to the shed.
Garbage Georgie.
I just, it was like a David Lynch movie. I like turn the corner. I'm like, something's wrong in the shed. And all I saw was this like shadow move. And I was like, hey, get out of there. I'm like, he's in the shed trying to get into the trash. And I backed up and he just came, fat ass, came rolling out of there. I wish I had a gun. I hate him so much.
I like the way they walk. That sort of
they do walk. I saw one in LA a couple years ago that was the size of like a large dog. Like it was hunched over. It was
they're
so
well fed.
They're chubby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, in LA they're the size of like corgis. They're big.
Yeah.
Big boys. I guess I got kind of a trash story. This is more of a regional trash tale. this is part of the trash folkways of the Southeast Coast. Both my parents are from the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, like Virginia Beach, Norfolk. And they're in the 60s through the early 70s, there was an enormous landfill that was basically always on fire. This unsightly burning trash heap.
And there was an effort to
like reclaim it and turn it into a park. So that has been done. They like sodded over the whole thing, this big hill of that is just grass over trash. It is now a recreation area, but the park keeps its sort of folkloric name from the time that it was a burning wasteland. And that is why if you go to Virginia Beach, you can go to Mount Trashmore Park.
Nice.
Mount Trashmore.
Mount Trashmore.
That's fun.
Amazing.
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I've got a light one here. So this is more recycling related. So let's shift over to recycling.
Ooh,
so
trash adjacent.
So trash adjacent. So my neighborhood has recycling pickup once every 2 weeks, and I put out these recycling bins. So I bought this house, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago, and I was like, I have to get like a recycling bin. So like I went out and I bought one of those big blue bins that like rolls, you know. And the recycling guys just destroyed it. Like it started with like the lid, and it's shocking. It's like they must come up with like a hammer and smash it through the lid and then open it and then put like the trash there, right? There's cracks in the middle of the plastic. I'm like, I don't know how you could make this happen. So then I'm like, well, you know what? I need another one anyway, and this one's still working. It's fine. So then I get another one, a smaller one, but it's still a rolly one with a lid. So then the smaller one I get, the new one, within like a month, because we have it on Ring camera, they open the lid, threw the whole thing in the back of the trash can, shake the shit out of it till the lid comes off in the recycling truck. Then they just throw the can back on my lawn, no lid, and drive off. Right. So we're like, oh my God. Then the most recent event, and this is what really broke me, is they took my old big one that had the crack in the lid and everything. And I have duct taped and stuff. And they smashed it on the ground so hard, one of the wheels just shot off the side and cannot be reattached. So now it has one wheel. And what my wife and I have discussed is they have broken us down to where we're not going to get like nice bins anymore. Like we'll just go get Rubbermaid circle cans with lids that just pop off because who cares? You know what I mean? We'll just carry it out and they're indestructible, those things. Right? Like,
well,
no
my question
fancy
is,
parts.
Why are you buying your trash cans? That's something in California is provided.
And
by
in my
parents'
township where I grew up, it's provided by the township. They have big recycling bins that they provide you with. This, not only do you have to buy it, you have to pay for the service to recycle it.
New Jersey.
Yeah,
run by con men and thieves.
It's because the waste removal, like the waste removal part, the trash part, you know, Jersey, it is
literally mafia run.
It's like, the mafia.
Absolutely.
So it's all privatized.
Shame if something happened to your nice blue bin there, Mr.
Exactly.
Like it looks pretty nice.
What do they want from you? Like, what would they rather have than a nice bin?
I don't know what it is. I just don't get it. But yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Ruffians. Ruffians. Yeah, we live in the.
Did you tip them at Christmas? No, I've never. I never see them.
There it is.
They come at like 6:30 in the morning.
You got to leave out a half pound of gabagool, and they'll leave you alone.
You got to leave out your cookies for Saint Nicholas and your little gabagool for the streets and sanitation workers.
If you leave out some shuya down, some gabagool, they'll treat your pockets real nice.
Just get the prosciutto that's so thin, and then maybe your bins will be better taken care of. You know,
maybe some vinegar peppers.
The one with the spices, the one with the chunks of olives in it.
Oh, God.
Well, these trash stories aside, stay tuned after the break. There'll be no more stories about trash, only treasures.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Look, there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly, Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan, casting what-ifs, backstage stories, and much more. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we're back. I want to thank Chaosium, as always, just the best in the biz for sponsoring this sick Friends of the Pod episode. Make sure you go out, get yourself Cthulhu by Gaslight, Investigator's Guide. Get yourself the Keeper's Guide. Look at that. So thick, so delicious. And then Dusted Blood, two scenarios ready to go. And these are written as such to like provide hooks for the beginnings of adventures. You know, this adventure could be played with the pregens, or you can make your own characters using the Investigator's Guide. But now I'm like really, really amped to try out the second scenario in here. This one I can tell you now is called.
So cool.
I want to make sure I get this right. It is called Ashes to Ashes. Chapter 2 is called Signs Writ in Scarlet. That's the blood. Just sounds really good.
That's
and look at
blood.
This. Look at this image on the front. It's just like some 1890s investigator holding some mythos tome, and it's like, get back! He's got like some little chime or whatnot to some, I don't know, swamp monster or something.
You. It looks like the Dustman.
So Chaosium was nice enough to send us copies of this so we could prep for this thing. And I got it and was super pumped. Left it on the kitchen counter. My 6-year-old walks up, grabs it, and starts thumbing through it. And I'm like, I don't notice it until too late, where he's sitting on the couch with it as if it's like a Dr. Seuss book. And just casually flipping through, he's like, Dad, what's this? And it's like a fucking like a seance happening. There's like a demon woman, like,
ah! Oh, it's like, definitely the one I just looked at.
Like, I was like, that's a seance. And like had to describe, you know, and he did not even phase. So I don't know what that means about me as a parent. Yep, that's the one. Yep.
All right, good.
So
there's something so haunting about Chaosium art.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. It's called a mummy unwrapping party.
They're unwrapping
a mummy.
Yeah, that was a crazy historical thing where they're like, oh, yeah, all these rich British people would, of course, raid Egypt and buy everything they could and then have a party where they defile a 1,000-year-old corpse where they just unwrap it and they're like, ha ha!
With my friends.
Yeah.
Look at this. There's a whole, there's rules for carriage chases. Look at that thing hunting the carriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like a
tapeworm thing.
Yeah, it's like a tapeworm.
A worm from Dune.
Intestine.
Looks like Lisan Al-Ghaib.
Shai Hulud.
He said, okay, ride it.
Yeah.
Ride it to safety.
Yeah. He's Shai Hulud. So he's the old man of the desert. Okay.
Yeah. You're right.
May your knife, what is it? May your blade sharp and shatter.
May your knife chip and shatter.
Yeah.
Last week, we were introduced to our humble investigators, Polly Tonbridge, Barindra Bosu, Bridie Mohan, and Stan Whitlock, all employees of Humbert's Dust Yard. It was just another day in the dust yard, people losing digits, kids choking to death on ash, just your standard Tuesday. When all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and they're like, there's something that just came. There's a weird bag that just came in from the last dump as they dumped dust into one of the lay stalls. You guys walk over. There's a little, like, potato sack that's twitching, like something inside of it is kicking, which is a great, great Cthulian image to sort of kick off the mythos horror. So Polly takes her knife, slices it open, and it just spills like a bag of sand. There's some chunks in it and whatnot. Polly and Barindra do notice, though, like in these chunks, there's a human molar that kind of rolled out to the front. You don't have time to even like tell your friends or sort of think about what that could mean before a gray hand comes out of the ash. And then that hand turns into like an ash man. And he begins attacking left and right, tearing at Polly's apron, blood gushing everywhere. You guys are doing your best to like kind of fend him off, stabbing him, punching him, redirecting him into a wall, but it doesn't seem to be hurting him. Finally, Humbert Lange comes out to make sure everybody's okay. What's going on? And this whirlwind spins around him. Polly tries to grab the whirlwind with a tarp. Barindra pulls Humbert out to try and like extract him from whatever this dust thing is. The rest of you bring the tarp over to the incinerator, the destructor, to try and burn it. Meanwhile, Humbert gets up, his eyes glassy, just coughing clouds of dust, and he bolts out the gate. Barindra like jumps on a cart to try and grab him. Boom, hits the ground. Humbert is gone. You find out that your only lead is that this bag of trash came from Clail Avenue, number 19. You look through Humbert's papers. It doesn't seem like anything untoward was happening, any sort of relationship to Clail Avenue, number 19, but you do see that it's owned by a Peregrine Stenmore. And so the four of you, armed with brass knucks, a knife, and a wrench, and some tchotchkes, wooden mice, or something that Bridie has on her character sheet, you head out the gates to Clail Avenue.
I just realized this is the second, just get meta, and this is why this game obviously is so amazing, because Troy could have just improvised something in the moment, and it makes me, the player, be like, wait a minute, and like, Troy could be like, that doesn't fucking mean shit, but this is the second time now he's mentioned this tooth that's fallen out of this bag, right?
That's what my favorite part of the recaps is, like, you hear the thing you missed that the GM is obviously pointing to.
This tooth has come back.
Obviously. Mm-hmm.
Supporting character tooth. And when I was in the office of Lange, there was the laudanum. Troy said something like, might be having some tooth problems.
He had tooth pain.
So this could be like,
that's it.
Get a personal biological bit of somebody and now send the dust wind at it or something like that. It could be something happening here.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I wonder if 19 car, what is it? Clail is the home of his dentist.
It's a dentist.
I am your dentist.
In tonight's episode of Cthulhu by Gaslight, the role of the tooth will be played by Daniel Radcliffe.
He's so good.
It's just me, a tooth.
He's so versatile.
It's
a little tooth with glasses on.
Now a tooth. Now an anthropomorphic tooth.
Little tooth, and I'll tell you the truth. Perhaps maybe only because you've shined such a spotlight on the tooth, as have we all. I don't know if Brenda's going in with this witchcraft sympathetic magic thing. I think he still thinks that maybe what we saw was like a ghostly form of whoever was burned. Their remains there in this sack. But just by virtue of that, he might lift the tooth out of the ash heap, since he was one of the two who saw it,
mm-hmm.
and just hang on to it for a moment, and maybe even pocket it.
Mm. Ooh, flashback to, that's how we'll open today's episode, Barindra, just reaching down, pushing some of the dust aside, and picking up this human molar. Now we see the four of you walking in the night to Clare Avenue, number 19.
The gas night.
You arrive at Clare Avenue, number 19, which stands on the south side of this leafy suburban street. All the lamps are lit. This large stone villa boasts fancy Gothic style stonework around the windows and an elaborate porch that fronts onto the street. You see a conservatory standing to the left and kind of wrapping around to the rear of the main building. Looks like there might be a substantial garden back there. The windows are all dark, and there's no visible movement or signs of life inside. What do you do?
Now, just so that I recall what we were told by Tom York,
the other dustman.
The dustman.
The other dustman. Tom York, noted dustman who brought the parcel to the yard. He said that a footman or some servant had brought it out, looking a little green around the gills.
Yeah, and they thought it was strange because you were like, is it anything you remember? Like, no. Actually, we did get a sack from this one house, Clare Avenue number 19, and it was weird because the servants didn't come out to give it to us. It was like a footman or a valet, and he gave it to us and tipped us really nicely. We just thought that was strange because normally they go into the house to get all this stuff, gather it up. I think I mentioned at the beginning of last episode, like, that's the only time the servants of the house, like, have someone to look down on is these dustmen that come in. But this guy just came out and said, here's the dust. And so they're like, well, that was strange.
Well, yeah. Well, we may stand a better chance of knocking up the servants if anyone's still up, rather than just rapping on the front door.
No, so we just,
no.
See if we can talk to the servants, then go round to the servants' entrance and see if Tom York's intimations were true and if everything's in its right place.
Yeah, God damn it.
I was waiting for it.
I knew it was coming.
Everything's in its right place. At the right time. Yeah, you asked what we do. I can tell you what we don't do is walk up to the front door, because that would be a first-class ticket to a reputation penalty.
A faux pas.
A faux pas, indeed. Yeah. We do not, the likes of us, do not approach the front door. So, yeah, it looks like there's a bit of a gate by that conservatory. We'll head around towards the back, towards the servants' entrance.
Let me get a group luck roll here, but you go ahead. I just want a group luck roll, which means whoever has the worst luck needs to roll it. We had a different system.
Did we want to... Do we want to try to re-up our 12? I'm at 11, so I'm fine.
We came up with a house rule last week where instead of getting this unlimited luck pool, we had the gaslight dozen, we called it, where you had 12 luck points you could use just for that episode. Now, as long as you roll over your luck, you have a chance to replenish it. So you need to fail at a luck roll. If you want to do that first, let's see if you can replenish some of that luck for today's
episode. Oh, hell yeah, 94. Episode.
Boom.
Nice.
I just failed, so I'm back to my... Back to Cthulhu's dozen.
Oh, roll over our original luck? Oh, yeah. Snarf. Yeah. Then.
Wait, over 12.
Oh, over 12.
No, over your original luck.
Over your luck on your sheet. Snarf.
Yeah, it's just we house ruled this just to make it a little more threatening for this one shot.
I just didn't understand.
We have 12 points of luck to spend, but the original score is our resource. So like,
got it.
Who has the? My luck is 65.
Looks like Stan is the worst with 60. So Joe, go ahead and give me a luck roll.
group luck roll. The one thing I wanted to say, I could be wrong about this, but I feel like going to the servant's entrance is not much better. I still think it's pretty bad. Like,
yes,
like agreed. They'll be like, ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
What are you doing here?
Get away from us. Yeah, like we are a class below servants.
I could try to do my rag and bone thing.
No, it's fine. Oh, we can still go over there. I just wanted to say, like, this is like, they might not treat us very well. Now you want to succeed.
Under.
I failed by so many. It's crazy. 87 Dang. Over 6.
Okay. Dang. All right, so was the plan to make your way towards the servant's entrance?
Towards the servant's entrance. Yeah, we could also look for a moment, walk over there.
Yeah, see like
if
we spy see around.
See if anybody's
see if
walking around or if there's right. some
Maybe
sounds.
Maybe spot hid the side of this building.
Yeah, a little spot hid the side of the John. Come on.
Let's say this. As you're loitering at night outside of this posh residence, you hear...
That doesn't sound good.
You hear a voice. Pardon me. And you look over and you see... a police constable doing his rounds.
Bobbies.
Oh, yes.
I made him Irish, but that doesn't seem right.
Oh, good.
Pardon me. Can I help you with something?
No, not at all. Sorry. We're just looking for a friend of ours.
Are you Dustman?
Too many down the pub and went wandering off on the street, that's all. Just lost sight of him. You seen a man running around here?
A friend of yours in this neighborhood.
Well, he's our employer.
Our employer.
Our employer, yes. Kind enough to take us out for drinks, but then took off on his own.
Employer took you out for drinks and you're looking for him. Are you Dustman?
Yes, I am.
Sure you know that this is a... respectable neighborhood. Maybe you take a moment, try and find your friend. If you don't find him, you head back home, behave yourselves, and clear off. I'm going to do another circuit of the street. Now be back. I think it's best if you're not here when I return. You understand?
Yes.
Understood, officer.
Aye, sir.
My uneven accent and I are gone.
Did you know
let's
that the word
quick,
we call them cops? Quick. Oh, sorry, Rossi. We call them cops because they had copper badges, the bobbies, on their helmets, and that's why we call them cops. Mm, the coppers.
Yeah. Well, let's make quick work of this. So that by the time that copper comes back, you don't see us. Who knows what he'll sound like when he returns?
I didn't like the sound of him.
Yeah, but your point's well taken. Perhaps we could the clock is ticking, so to speak. But we could look through the windows and see. See if there's anything untoward before we go knocking up servants who we already know are trying to dispose of some of it.
Yeah, can we
get close?
Sure, you want to go around the left side where the conservatory is and kind of do a perimeter scan or something?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you slip around past the conservatory... to the back of the house where there's a garden, trying to find a window that you can peer into that doesn't require, like, you know, if you did it on the front of the building, everyone would see you, as you can see from this image I have up here. So maybe you stick around to the back, you're trying to find a place to, you know, maybe somebody can give you 10 fingers to look in or something, or maybe there's a low window. You get back there and there's a lawn, dense shrubbery, and a brick area that draws your attention because there's a large burn mark on it. It's like 6 feet long, 3 feet wide. You see there's a discarded hammer and an empty tin pail lying near the scorch mark. It's just a little strange.
But you also notice, and there's no denying it, a considerable amount of a blood splatter visible, like between the scorch mark and the conservatory. And luckily, there's no other buildings back here that sort of look on to the back of this house, but something strange happened here.
That scorch mark, is it not the size of a body?
About that. What could do that?
I want to look at
that hammer.
Are there
lights on in the house? Like, is there any candlelight or firelight emanating from the house?
No lights
or
on.
Or gaslight?
No gaslight in the house. Yeah, it's weirdly dark because it's nighttime. There should be some lights on, but yeah. Nothing.
I want to look at that hammer.
Something happened in this house.
Does it have blood on it?
Go ahead and... No, you just pick up the hammer. There's no blood on the hammer, but give me a spot hidden roll.
Fail 92 over 70.
Yeah, she's
just too freaked. There's a hammer, a bucket. Is there anything in the bucket? Is it empty?
The bucket's empty. Yeah.
A burn mark and a blood stain.
The burn mark's on the ground. Was that what he said? Is that what he said, Troy?
No, the burn mark's on this brick area.
I'm going to reach down.
Like a patio or...
foundation patio thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to reach down and grab the hammer.
Okay.
You reach down, pick it up, and it's in good condition?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, he's going to hold on to it.
Okay. Yeah. You look down to the bucket. There's like maybe a little bit of water left in there, but nothing else of interest.
And the blood stain, does it look fresh? Does it look a few days old? And the only reason I think I would know this as a dustman is because of the fighting, the pits and stuff. You can kind of tell the difference of old blood on the floor versus fresh blood on the floor.
Yeah, give me a spot hidden.
Okay.
Just to really analyze it.
Damn. Fail. 59 over 45. Yeah, 14! Otherwise, I could have spent a lot.
Yeah, it's still pretty bright, which makes you think it's not that old, but yeah, it's hard
is
to
it,
pinpoint
Is it in
exactly.
one space, or does it look like an impact, or does it look like it came from somewhere, like a drag or a drip, or...
Well, it looks like it...
Mary Lou, you look honestly scared and afraid as a player.
Just chewing her fingernails off.
She's chewing her fingernails off.
It's scary.
It is.
Give me a track roll.
I love a good track
I got the standard
roll. Need to
10.
Do more of those and Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, just trying to figure out like...
Nah, fail. 67 over 10.
Yeah, you're trying to like understand where did this blood come from? What? Did it just originate here or... Can't piece it together. It's just very like clearly something happened right. back here and semi recently.
All right. What? Well, yeah. Look, sorry. I think we're gonna go. I'm gonna go to the door with the hammer, and just sort of like stand up next to it and be like, "Well, I'm gonna knock, but I'm ready for whatever comes out that door."
Front door or servant's entrance?
The servant's entrance. Sorry, I guess we're not right there. We were on our way to the back. Is that what was
Yeah,
that?
So you passed by the servant's entrance, went around the conservatory to the garden.
Got it.
And you saw
to
this.
Take to scan the area.
Okay. Is there a door back there, Troy?
A door back there. This door is into the conservatory. And then there's the servant's entrance and the front door. If you peek around the other side of the building, that's all you see.
Okay. I mean, we could.
On our way back around, is it possible to kind of peek through the panes of glass in the conservatory to get a look into the...
It is mostly
there,
glass.
Considering that's...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you look
into
through
the
there.
A little bit.
Yeah, with the light of the moon, maybe some of the gaslight spilling into the back area there, you can take a look in. You see a glass house with shelves that are laden with potted orchids and ferns, lots of greenery. We could try a spot hidden from just outside to see if there's anything else that jumps out at you. But right now, it just looks like a lot of flowers.
I tried, but I failed. Went over my
Colonel Mustard with the wrench in the conservatory.
I'll give him a peeky.
I got a 57 under 70. Yeah, success.
Mm. Anybody else?
And I got a ray. Actually, got a heart.
Heart. And I got a heart. I'm right on the line there. Oh, I'll spend one luck to make it a hard success.
Okay.
Nice. Might not need to if I got the heart. It's up to you.
I want it. I want to see it.
Well,
I want it hard. I haven't done anything.
Barindra.
This whole session.
Barindra doesn't see anything. Perhaps all those chips of bone dust have hurt his vision over the years. I was trying to rationalize a fail through like something stupid. yes. But Polly and Stan and Bridie, you see blood smears trailing through the conservatory, like as if they're coming from the garden. And with your hard success, Bridie and Stan, you notice that the smears stop right when they reach the middle of the room. And in the middle of the room, there's just like a circle on the ground, like a six foot diameter circle, marking the dusty tiles. And that's where the bloodstains stop.
Whoa.
Well,
you're saying it's coming from the garden?
It looks like, yeah, it looks like the blood came from the garden into the conservatory and they stop right where there's a circle surrounded by dust, like something was there and removed.
Interesting.
Well, now
can
I
we
think
just
we
go
should
in there?
Go in the conservatory. Yeah. Something happened
there's
here.
There's a door into
and
there?
And it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been hurt. We gotta go.
Yeah.
They might have been robbed or something.
Should we look at the garden at all?
I thought we did. No? Isn't that where we came from?
Yeah, you were in the garden.
Oh, that's where the brick thing was. Got it.
Yeah. We're going to go from the garden through that entrance into the house, into the
garden. Into the conservatory. Yeah.
I think we want to do that.
Does the conservatory have its own... It has its own door that the...
It does. And in fact, that door is unlocked.
Yeah, I think Barindra will try it, and then it maybe notices it's not locked and opens it up. Once we're inside, or the door opens, is there a door inside the conservatory leading into the house, or is it open?
There sure is. And in fact, let's go to Foundry Virtual Tabletop.
This conservatory brought to you by Foundry.
Tonight's conservatory will be played by Sir Anthony Hopkins. There you are.
I see.
All four of you. I know that.
Cool.
I just love when you have a good map.
We've got dynamic lighting.
You got to use it. So the outside there, you see that blood trail coming from the garden, goes right to the center of the conservatory here, and then stops. There's a single door leading into the house. So this would be the first floor, right? There's the basement, which is the servant's entrance, had stairs going down into the basement. This is the first floor. Then there's a second floor and a third floor.
Oh boy.
This guy had some scratch.
He's doing well.
Little Kashish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said you would try opening the door, right?
Yeah, let's go in.
Barindra?
Yeah.
Were you trying to open the door into the house? Is that not what you said?
I think I was trying to open the door into the conservatory as I walk.
Copy.
And that was unlocked. But now, of course, I will walk through the plants. Over the bloodstain, over this little circle, and make my way to the
door. I'm
going to
examine
around the mulberry bush.
I'm just going to examine this circle closer.
Yeah, let's take a look at this.
Like,
circle.
As I get up to it, I look down and I'm going to just like kick at some of the dust with my boot.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, what is this? Why is this in like a perfectly circular pattern?
Yeah, go for it.
Can I do a spot hidden?
Yeah.
Didn't know if you wanted something else to fail. Yeah. 88.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems it's like a perfect circle. With the blood stopping there.
Maybe you need something else. Like a cult.
What if I look? Can I, yeah.
I don't know.
You could do, a no roll, which is an education roll. It isn't.
All right.
Education isn't quite right, but it's more in the spirit of no. Maybe you've got a little.
Yeah, I'll do a no roll. It's a long shot. Oh my God. 99. That would be a fumble.
That's a fumble.
Oh, you
fall backwards. Smash into the conservatory glass, which then lodges itself in your carotid artery, and you bleed out.
You bleed out on the floor.
Your back goes out again.
Yeah. Oh, God. What? You bent down, to look at it, and it tweaks your back again. Penalty die on all physical rolls for the rest of the campaign. It just seems like something was here, and now it's not. And that's why there's dust everywhere except for this circle.
Okay.
And blood. But doors leading into the house. Do you try to open them?
I don't know. That cop might come back. We should probably just go home.
The cop.
Let's leave well enough alone.
Well, we came I as think far if as we want could. To avoid the copper, he won't see us if we're inside.
It's true.
He might see us if we're out there.
Right. So I think almost silently getting assent from the group, Barindra, who's walked over to the door into the house, kind of looks at you in turn. He's like kind of nodding at you, like, are we doing this? As I reach for the handle and turn it and see if it opens at my touch.
Great. Sure does.
As it swings inward, I want to really just put my ear to it and listen. Do I hear people moving around?
You listen, crack the door ever so slightly, and listen in, and you hear nothing. Silence. Just a basic, like, role-playing listen. Nothing.
Okay.
I'll step into the doorway when I don't hear anything and just... Oh!
All right. You look to
immediately see a grand piano.
It starts playing. Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun.
This looks to be a drawing room. The blinds are drawn in this south-facing room. The space feels very unused. You all recognize this as a parlor, only far fancier than anything you have in your own neighborhoods. You've got the grand piano sitting here along with several comfortable chairs. There are pictures on the wall, mostly titled or labeled, that are like sketches or etchings of Roman ruins, as well as watercolors of strange-looking temple facades and pyramids in Egypt.
Just had to fuck with Egypt.
Has to. Always has to. Every game he runs. Always has to.
Are there any candles or a candelabra of some sort?
Lantern?
Give
right?
me
a lantern even?
Or, we're in lantern roll. Days, aren't we?
Give me a luck roll. Is there a candle?
You're goddamn right there is.
Yeah, there is.
32 under 75.
There's like a clue like candelabra.
Great. Mm-hmm. We all huddle together comedically.
Mm-hmm. Light every single candle.
I've got some matches.
I love this. All right, so you've got a lit candelabra as your only light source now.
Yep.
All right, there's two doors here. No.
If you give me control of Rob's token, I'll move.
Oh, wait, I didn't even try. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
that's me. Who moved me?
Oh.
I'm pinging.
Who moved me?
I moved you.
Oh, yeah, just give me in there.
Just give me in there.
All right.
I don't know about this. I don't know.
If we get
caught sneaking into this fancy home, if that police officer comes back around and finds us here, we'll be arrested.
If they find us, they'll also find the bloodstains in the back. I think we are perfectly justified to investigate when Mr. Lange might be in here being hurt, being killed.
Yeah, Mr. Whitlock, if that copper comes round, then he'll see that blood out there and he'll see you holding that hammer. Right, that's what I'm worried about. This looks much worse than it is.
Elders, blame us.
But you're right, we're here for Mr. Lange. We've got to find him. I know he's here. I know it.
Let's keep moving.
Should we stay quiet?
Yes.
Feels yeah. that way.
You're too loud right now.
I think
call out.
Banerjee might pull up to you and be like, if the servants are the ones what brought out the parcel, maybe we could listen in. If someone's still up. I don't hear anything. It's quiet as a tomb in here.
It's like no one's even here. All right, let's go. There's a door over there in the corner.
Okay.
Let me figure out how to move my token.
All right, so you make your way to the far side of the room? Or the one we're calling?
I'd like to see this southwestern door.
Okay.
Just going to very quietly push it open.
You quietly push it open, and you see it leads to a second, like a little miniature stairwell that goes down to the servant's entrance.
Oh.
If we want to try and find the servants, we might go this way, but I don't know.
Yeah, let's do that. Best to see them first. They're the ones brought out the package, right? And they're the ones that are less likely to inform on us.
Right.
Yeah.
Or lie about us. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. All right, I'm just waiting for whoever has the light to go down.
That's I can't me. Figure out how to open the door.
I'm watching different tokens try to do different things. It makes me feel so much better.
I know.
Someone's measuring their distance. I'm just trying someone to, like, else. Move. There
we go. All right, so you want to go down the stairs to the servant's entrance now that you found this second way?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
I think mm-hmm. so, yeah.
All right, I'm going to move you elsewhere.
As we move through the room, it's so tantalizing what you've said about the peculiar nature of the art on these walls, ruins, pyramids, etc. As Bataji kind of walks the perimeter of the room towards the door leading to the staircase down, he wants to be looking at these images, some of which coming from these exotic locales. Is there anything like captions, titles, anything uncanny about these artworks? It may give a clue as to the temperament of the owner Ooh, of this yeah. place.
That's a good idea.
Stenmore.
It looks like whoever created these holds those places in high esteem.
Is it worth trying an occult role on this stuff, or is it just sort of like images of
doesn't seem
typical
to be
Egyptian iconography?
Yeah, you stare at it for a little bit, you know, nothing really jumps out at you. No, nothing you recognize in your tarot deck or anything. It's just,
okay. All
right.
He's a collector.
Yeah, that gives Mary Lou ideas, but I'm not sure Polly would have a second thought about it.
Yeah. All right, same. Let's open this. Let's do this door.
All right. So you go down. If you want to zoom down the bottom, you'll see a second little map here. Where the four of you are walking down stairs.
Oh, yeah.
To enter.
Scroll all the way to the bottom.
Through the servant's entrance.
I see that.
Yeah, so like zoom all the way out, then scroll all the way down. That's a whole. Oh, man. This is.
Oh,
massive.
There it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so one of you pops open the door, and you see a long hallway. Eerily silent, lit only by your candelabra. Doors as far as the eye can see, on the left, on the right, further down the hallway, to the left, the right. As the hallway goes down, you see it turns, and it looks like maybe there's a stairwell all the way down as well that goes up.
Wow. All right. Go ahead. Brody, go.
I'm coming.
Stop
Hold
standing
on.
There like an idiot.
I don't know. I don't know how to leave this map and move to the next.
All right. You're still on the other map.
Someone teleport me.
No, you're there. You're there, Brady. You're right at the door.
Are we going? Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
no, but
I'm
don't think
are we
you
going
can
down
find
or are we
the
going
other
to
map?
The
We're
right.
going to the east.
It doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? It's theater of the mind.
I'll move Brady.
Yeah. Just move, Brady.
Just tell me what door we're going.
Yeah, Rob, just stay in Theater of the Mind.
There, boom.
All right, you see a whole bunch of doors. Three on the left, one on the right.
I see all the doors.
Do you want to open any of them, or are you just going to keep walking?
My token keeps going back up.
These cooters.
I got you guys.
Okay, yeah, sorry. My token keeps going back up to the piano room, no matter what I try to do.
All right,
All right, now you're down.
Question for you, Troy.
Yeah.
Is it so late now that it makes sense for people to be asleep? Or is it early enough in the evening?
It's still early evening. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's odd.
It does not make it. This
is
very odd how quiet it is.
Yeah.
Especially down in the servants' quarters.
Yeah.
Like, there should be buzzing
they
about.
They
should be buzzing, like, doing night, bedtime routine
activity.
Would we assume the kitchen is down here and all that stuff?
Yeah, you absolutely. So
Preparing
the master supper. What's going on?
Brady wants to kind of give a listen to this first door.
Yeah, I said, why don't we start cracking doors?
I think we start,
just
quietly
start
cracking
opening them.
You pop open this first one. It's a bathroom. You pop open.
Whoa. We're all like, wow.
Never seen one in person.
They got a loo. Indoors.
you
How
go to
the
open.
Half lives.
You open the one to the south there, and it's like a neatly made bed. There's a desk, some bookshelves, a wardrobe full of a uniform that a cook would wear. And yeah, it just looks like this must be the cook's bedroom.
Oh, interesting. And no cook, and no sign of
and
anybody.
No cook.
No blood.
Nope. Bed is made.
I'm gonna step in there. I'm gonna step into that room.
Okay.
And do a spot hit.
Okay.
Looking around the cook's quarters. Oh my god.
Why bother, Joe?
Here's why I oh my god it. Because my single digits die rolled off of the off my desk, and the two digit is a success at the limit. So I rolled 46 over 45. So I will spend one luck to make it a 45.
Please.
You spend that and nothing important in here.
Nothing in here.
You open the room to the north, and it looks like a similarly furnished room that's like probably for the butler. And desk, bed.
Where is everyone?
There is a locked cabinet, but nothing else of interest in that room. And they must share that bathroom.
Wow.
Okay.
You're so lucky. Two people sharing one toilet.
I'm going to step up to this next door and open it.
Okay, you open that one, and it's the kitchen.
It is the actual kitchen.
There's a well-furnished kitchen. There's a large black range stove. If you go in there and look around, the stove's still hot. The coals within are banked, so it'd be easy to stir them to
still hot.
Boil a kettle if you needed to. It wouldn't be uncommon to leave the coals warm so that you can stir them to get the fire going, which leads you to believe, someone was here recently.
Weird.
There's a stone sink with a single modern brass tap for fresh water, but nothing else of interest.
Is there any kind of carving knife?
Yes.
Brady's getting more and more nervous. Brady would like a
several
knife.
Several knives. Several cooking knives, yeah.
Okay, Brady's going to grab a knife.
Okay.
With her free hand.
And you keep looking around. You see below you is the larder.
And then next to the larder is the dust hole where the dustman would come to get the trash. The larder, there's fresh food in there. It's stored.
Wow.
Yeah, lots of food, fresh food. Actually.
They've got food indoors.
Yeah, so this is where you would come stand. In fact, you probably have been here before, and you've gone right to this room here to pick up trash while getting stared at by all of the servants.
Yeah, the servants just being like, ew.
Take up. Take up, poo.
Ew. He's covered in take dust.
Remove
and feces. By dust, I mean trash. Like, okay. It looks like
take
one more door at the end.
Of teeth.
And I'm just going to open it.
Okay.
Got a hammer in one hand, opens it with the other.
All right. Everybody give me a stealth roll here now that you're getting deeper into the house. Just, you know.
You want a group one or individual?
Individual. Individual. Just to see how you're making your way about here. I know your goal is to be quiet, but.
Stan failed, but only by 6. But I failed.
I failed by a lot. Polly failed by a lot.
Same.
Okay. I got a hard success. If I spend a couple points of luck, it could be extreme.
Whoa.
Okay.
Might not matter if the rest of us are
failing.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like everyone else is rattling chains and knocking over.
And you're just
knocking buckets down wells and stuff. Yeah.
All right, so.
Great.
You guys walk in, open the door to this next room, and Barindra is as quiet as a mouse. The rest of you are kind of like, you know, just, it's not like you're bumbling about, but you're not taking any pains to be really quiet. This is your first stealth mission. So you're kind of like, open the door, clung, and hit something, whatnot, and you hear...
here we go.
No.
And it sounds like it's coming from upstairs. There's a stairwell here. There's a door under the stairwell. There's a hallway further up. But these sounds are coming from the first floor, like up this stairwell. Faint.
It sounds like a woman crying.
Man
crying.
Could be our boy.
I'm going to go. I go up the stairs. I start moving quickly as I hear that whimpering.
I'm going to follow.
All right, so you all...
I guess I gotta come. I got the light source.
Okay, you head up the stairs, and you see in the main hall, sitting on the stair... All right, so you see two things. There's a man sitting on the stairwell, like the second stairwell leading up to the second floor, his head in his hands. He's dressed rather nicely, and he's just rocking. And if he sees or hears you, he doesn't acknowledge you. Lying right on the floor in the main entrance in front of the front door is Humbert Lange.
Oh.
Mr. Lange!
Well.
What do you do?
Mr. Lange?
He's
I think
Polly would
run to him.
All right, you go to him. He's lying on the ground. He seems to be breathing, but he is completely unconscious. He's a little battered.
I'm going to walk up to this well-dressed guy on the stairs and say, what happened?
It's like, no, you mustn't. No, you mustn't.
This guy is hysterical. He needs to be like, if you want to try to connect with him, you're going to have to bring him down.
All right, I'm going to do a...
You mustn't. He's grabbing at your shirt. No, you don't understand. You mustn't.
So, yeah, he's sort of like, he takes that in for a second, and he's got this, like, bloody hammer in his hands, and he's just going to kind of, like, put it behind his back so that it's not visible, and with his other hand, kind of, like, reassuringly, just kind of, like, grip the guy's shoulder and look him in the eye, just say, it's all right. We're here now. We're going to stop it from happening. Whatever's happened, we'll take care of it. We'll take care of you. I'm going to roll a reassurance and see if I can give him to sanity.
Let's take these new skills out for a spion.
Take these out for a spion.
I think Polly did it last time to calm Kitty down.
I'm excited to watch you fail this, Joe.
I know, it sucks, doesn't it? Because, like, he's got great stats. I just suck at rolling. His reassurance is not too shabaroo. Dude, this character's awesome. He is... It's one of the things I really like is, like, he's well-known and respected in the local community as a natural leader, which is great. And they put all these points in reassurance. And
just like you.
He's generally affable. He keeps his assistants in line and makes sure they know who's boss. He does not tolerate, this is interesting, he does not tolerate foul language. Oh, and my favorite line, a steady but calm drinker.
That's where the similarities end between you two.
Exactly.
Fiction 26.
Wait a minute. Do I need a hard? I'm going to spend 2 points to make that a hard success on reassure.
A hard success on reassure. So he listens to you. I mean, you role played it beautifully, and he's just like, and he seems
just
to
tell us what happened.
He seems to at least calm down. So he's not hysterical anymore. He's not yelling, perhaps drawing the attention of the nearby bubbies. But he's still like just kind of 1,000-yard stare. He needs like a charm, persuade, fast talk if you want to actually get something out of him. You have brought him down, but now if you want to know what the hell's going on, you got to talk to him.
Okay.
I have a picture of him too. While you guys are figuring that out.
I've got an okay persuade. I've got a 30 in persuade, but I think Polly, she's more concerned about Mr.
Lange. Yeah. If you want to cut over to that for a second,
It seems like he's stable, she might, you know, Barindra, come here.
How about this?
You know, some.
I'll have a look. I'll have a look at Mr. Lange. Charm is not my street. I'm half a mind to batter this whiner about the head and shoulders. Get what you can out of him. I'll see to Mr. Lange.
And I'll stoop down and I'll try to do some first aid or physical assistance to Lange. See what his state is.
All right, so you and Polly want to do like a group first aid on him? Where you can, not a group first aid, but like you can both roll first aid. And if one of you succeed, you can do something to him.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So it's a team up on first day because you both seem to be interested in attending to Lange.
No, fail.
Success.
Okay.
Nice.
44 under 50.
All right. So upon further examination, you can see that he's like still struggling to breathe, but no longer are the dust clouds coming out while he's in this like unconscious state, but you're able to just kind of like, you know, dust him off, kind of pick him up, maybe try to gently shake him to not only to wake him, but just to like make sure his comportment is all good. And you notice that in the movement he's starting to breathe a little bit easier, that heavy breathing slows down, but he's still unresponsive. It doesn't look like he's been beaten or damaged in any way. But he's inside this house, just lying on the floor.
Okay, and then Bridie wants to bluff a bit with this. Seeing him start to rouse, Bridie maybe like goes to the guy.
Okay, tries to fast talk him.
Gonna fast talk him. And basically gonna bluff, be like, it's all right, it's all right. We know you're the one that gave the bag to the, what are they called, dust? The dustman. Yeah.
It's a bag.
We forgive you.
Okay, it's a bag. Yes.
Just tell us why and tell us what happened.
And you try to fast talk him.
33 under 55.
Nice.
Success.
Nice.
And we'll be back right after this break.
It's time to prepare a speech.
We're going to get a Troy info done.
Troilogue.
Kick back.
Love it.
Hi, we're Meg Bashwiner.
And Joseph Fink.
Of Welcome to Night Vale. And on our new show, The Best Worst, we explore the golden age of television.
To do that, we're watching the IMDb viewer-rated best and worst episodes of classic TV shows.
The episode of Star Trek, where Beverly Crusher has sex with a ghost. the episode of The X-Files, where Scully gets attacked by a vicious house cat.
And also the really good episodes, too.
What can we learn from the best and worst of great television? Like, for example, is it really a bad episode, or do people just hate women?
The best, worst. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good, because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When the Chaotix are on the case.
We're back.
Cthulhu by Gaslight, the finale.
You have...
It's only the second episode.
The finale. It's only the second half of the second episode. The series
the two-shot
finale.
Comes with thrilling conclusion.
The final
series
nightmare.
Finale.
Dust in the wind.
This time it's personal.
Oh my God. So good.
You have...
Yeah.
Broken
oh,
into.
Real quick, let me just do the real quick thank you again to Chaosium.
Yeah.
And this is so much fun. It's Chaosium, thank you for the sponsor and for making this awesome game. Go to chaosium.com, get it for yourself.
So
and by the way, in case we were not clear, this is all you need. This isn't like a supplement to the Call of Cthulhu Investigator's Handbook with just setting details. This is a whole Call of Cthulhu rulebook in and of itself.
Yep.
It's all you need as a player to start playing. You don't have to have the original Call of Cthulhu game or anything.
Yeah.
You can just get this and start playing in Victorian England.
Whoa. It's shocking the amount of historical information and context they have in those Gaslight books. You can come at it in so many different ways. As this little episode shows, like when I think Victorian, it's so filtered in our culture through the sort of the class stereotypes. So I'm always thinking, you know, conservatories and brightly lit marble hallways. But like the class stratification of this era is like demented. So it's cool to play characters that are like in the dust.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
They have a whole section that's just the timeline that is every year and like the important things that happened that year. So like 1881. Mm-hmm. London's Savoy Theater opens as the world's first electrically illuminated public building. And it has like 30 years.
Oh, you know the other awesome thing that they did? So there's two layers to the history in it that I love so much. It's just reading it like, as a history buff. They debunk a lot of like history stuff that they're like, a lot of people say this was the case. It's not.
Ooh.
It's more like this. Like really well done. And then they, whenever you have sort of... like an area they talk about They talk about race in the society, you know, from all the different stretches of the British Empire.
Like, LGBTQ,
they
talk about,
yeah, there's LGBTQ stuff. They talk about the British colonies. They talk about and all this stuff. Whenever they say like this is largely the case, they also are like, and here are like 8 real world examples of people breaking that and that weren't that and weren't doing that stereotypical thing.
So that you can inspire
character ideas. Cool. You're like, oh, well, yeah, here's a reason why this person who was born as a dustman, as the son of a dustman, became a prime minister. Like, it has happened and it can happen. And here's like, you know, those brief tales. They're like one paragraph long. Just a very cool book, the way it's written and designed.
Very cool.
Be sure to check out chapter 2 for rules on astral combat.
Yes.
There's astral on astral and astral to material combat.
Cool.
So much awesome. Cool stuff. You know, because the way they, what's really interesting about this when you get into it is like the way they conceived how the world worked is what really colors the way the mythos affects them. You know what I mean? The way we look at the world, it's like the mythos today would probably affect us like, Cthulhu taking over some AI, large learning model. Back then it was like they believed in certain things, and to see how that manifests in games is really cool. You guys have broken into this residence, the residence of allegedly a man by the name of Peregrine Stenmore on Clale Avenue, number 19. As you approach the house, a police constable saw a bunch of ne'er-do-wells walking around a posh neighborhood, no dust cart in sight. Oh, you're looking for your boss who took you out to drink? Sure. Wrap it up. I don't want to see you when I come back around. You go around the side of the house, and as you're like just kind of scoping to see if you can peek into any of the windows before going down to the servant's entrance, you notice scorch marks near this like large brick area and blood splatters, and a bucket that might have a little bit of water in it and a hammer. And then you look in the conservatory, you see blood is coming from the garden into the conservatory, stopping where there's like a circle, a perfect circle in the dust, and then it just stops. You guys go into the conservatory, you sneak in, you get into a drawing room, it's eerily quiet, you go back outside, downstairs through the servants' quarter, looking around, no cook, no butler, no staff, kitchen's full, the stove was used recently. What's going on? You keep walking and you hear like whimpering and crying coming from upstairs. You rush up there. You see a man sitting on the second floor landing, his head in his hands. He's gone. And Humbert Lange laying on the floor right inside the main entrance. You go to Lange. You calm him. You like get him under control because he's still wheezing.
Point of clarification, was the front door closed?
Front door was closed.
Okay, and not even like cracked a little bit, like it's closed.
Completely closed. And he's just laying there. And then this man, well-dressed, sitting there, head in hands, I think Stan reassures him. And then Bridie bluffs, fast talks him into spilling the beans here. And so he's kind of like coming to, and he's like, oh. That man, he was knocking on the door. I didn't want to let anybody in, but the knocking was incessant. It was nonstop, and so I opened it, and it was his head. He was smashing his head against the door, and he fell in here, and I just shut the door afterwards. None of this should have happened. This is the worst day ever, the worst day. This house belongs to my employer, Mr. Peregrine Stenmore, a scholarly gentleman and a collector of odd antiquities. He is my employer. Is my employer.
Where is he now? Where's Mr. Stenmore?
Well, that's a bit of a story. Earlier today, Mr. Stenmore decided to have a bonfire in the back garden to burn a nasty old mummy that had been in the house for years. I don't know why or what it was supposed to achieve, but my master was extremely excited. He collects all these odd things, Egyptian and Roman and whatnot, and he's had this mummy for some time, and he just decided he wanted to burn it. Who am I to stand in the way? I just thought it was some more trash he wanted to get rid of. He called it his Zosimos experiment. I don't know what Zosimos means, but I believe it has something to do with one of the books in Mr. Stenmore's study. Anyways, I didn't think of much about it when he asked me to help. I thought it would just be like burning old sheets. But once it was finished, when the mummy's ashes were cooled and crushed... This is going to sound crazy, but Mr. Stenmore then told this dust pile to get up and answer him. I stood there and watched as this pile formed into a man made of ash and promptly attacked Mr. Stenmore. In a panic, I just grabbed a bucket of water and threw it on him over this ash man, and he collapsed. I then quickly bagged up the rest of the dust and I brought it out to the dust cart that had just arrived at the house. One of your men, he points
Tom
to Stan.
Tom York.
I didn't get his name. The timing was perfect.
His name was Tom York.
Well, I didn't ask him his name, but I tipped him well. I'm sure he'll tell you that. I gave him sixpence, I believe. And I just gave him the dust, thinking that this would all be done with. And then I didn't know what to do with Mr. Stenmore. So I don't know what happened. I lost time. But I believe he's upstairs in his room. And he's hurt. He's a good man. A strange man, but a good man. No one else has been in the house. Mr. Stenmore sent all the other servants away yesterday and told them not to come back for 3 days. I wish he had sent me away so I would not have been party to all of this. He grabs Stan by the collar. He's like, I'm going to hang for this, aren't I? No one's ever going to believe me. I'm just a simple valet.
And he just like starts sobbing. You.
We believe you.
We saw that ash man. We saw him. He attacked us. He attacked Mr. Lang.
Here, he's here.
What happened to Mr. Lange? He ran here.
Yes, this man just—he fell in the door. He just fell in the door, and he collapsed. There was dust everywhere. Dust whirling about.
And that means the dust that was in him is in here. Perhaps it's gone up to finish the job. My God, you have to see your employer.
Take us to it.
And I think...
upstairs?
I will kind of begin to ascend the stairs.
Okay, I'll go behind you.
Go get another bucket of water. Go.
Water. If that's the weakness, then we need as much of it as you can carry.
Wait, hold on. Why don't we... Maybe we should go to the study. See if there's any books or anything that could help us out.
Books? What do you mean?
I'm the only literate one here.
How are books going to help us out?
I am literate.
I
thought Troy made a point.
Ha, I can't. He did say, I can't read.
He said the Zosimos experiment. He's like, the Zosimos... what do you say? I don't know what it means, but it I think it has something to do with one of the books or papers in Mr. Yeah. Stenmore's study.
Unless I'm misinterpreting my sheet, I think I can read and not just...
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make assumptions, Ross. I apologize.
No.
You can read all
you want. You're illiterate!
And it just echoes in the opening chamber.
Yes!
I'm an immigrant to this country. I read three languages. And
sure you do. He's just totally like...
The guy points. He goes, there's a study there. And then he has a private study upstairs that no one uses off of the library.
Okay. Oh, maybe we should check out the private one.
Yes.
Where is...
That's probably where his thing is.
Is he in his quarters? Where is he?
I think he's upstairs. I'm sorry. I lost time. The knocking woke me up.
The second floor or the third? The second floor or the third?
Second floor. There's nothing on the third. It's servants' quarters. And there's no one here but me. Me and Mr. Stenmore.
If this man is utterly just a puddle,
Rather than completing my journey up the stairs, pull yourself together. Well, that's not making anything better.
My God, this guy. All right, let's go.
He's really chewing the scenery.
Barindra wants water. Barindra wants to go to that bucket, a glass, a pitcher, whatever. Wants to go into this situation armed with water.
Yeah.
All right, so you go, back downstairs and... out to the conservatory, out to the garden, grab the bucket.
If there's like a pump house or something.
You saw a faucet downstairs, that a bronze faucet in the kitchen. All right, so you run outside, you grab the bucket, you go back downstairs, you go into the kitchen, you fill the bucket up with water. Are the rest of you just waiting for him to come back?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay.
Roddy's just shaking her head at this guy. Like,
yeah, you know what?
Give your magical, mystical trash...
And I'm going to slap his face really hard, and I'm going to use Intimidate to get him to just nut up.
Okay.
And maybe keep an eye on Lange while we're going upstairs.
Fail. 81 over 45.
Maybe you hit him with, the heel of your hand, and it really hurts. Instead of intimidating him, you, hurt him. And
Suck up, man. Your employer could be really hurt, and here you are, whinging and whining, dribbling about.
Why didn't he send me away?
And he just crumbles.
Okay.
Ugh, useless.
Barindra?
I'm here.
Here he is.
Let's do this.
All right, let's go upstairs.
Let's go up there.
All right.
I'm going to slip... brass knuckles onto my hand.
I'm gonna
also have a hammer in the hand as well.
I'm unflicking my clasp knife. So,
all right. So, slide yourself over a little bit more if you're looking at the map, and you'll see you are in a stairwell. The stairs continue up to the third floor, which you've been told by this sobbing crazy man is just leads to more servants' quarters. There's a single door leading to the rest of the second floor.
Okay, we'll head up.
All right, you open the door, and there is a common area here with several doors going every which way, but a very obvious trail of blood leading across the room to a door to the, would be on the map at least, the northwest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll follow the trail of blood.
All right, so... I got you, Polly. You're in a different map now.
Sorry.
If you guys look over there. All right, so you go to the trail, over to the Trail of Blood. You walk up to that door. Who opens it?
I'll open it. Okay. Sort of the idea being with Barindra right behind me, sort of just open it and then get out of the way and
ready to...
Yeah.
Ready to launch.
Okay. You open the door. And you see a scene. It is a tastefully appointed, comfortable room that is marred by the perfectly circular, 6 foot in diameter Chinese rug on the double bed, on which lies a bloody corpse. The features of this corpse are impossible to make out, as it looks like someone has taken a cheese grater to its face. Ripping off its eyelids, exposing its cheekbones. You do see that the clothing below the neck is that of a fine smoking jacket, something a wealthy man would wear. It is abraded, tattered, and soaked in blood. Everybody give me a sanity roll.
Yeah.
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 It is horrific.
All right. Already took a hit earlier.
Success.
Yeah, same.
All right.
We were kind of expecting this.
I see worse in the ash heap every day.
Yeah.
Everyone who succeeded, you do lose 1 point of sanity for the success.
That's fine.
You can think about that, how that may affect you moving forward. But other than that, you are standing in the room with this corpse.
Is that?
I'll start slowly stepping in, making room for the others to walk in through the door.
So this is the bedroom,
is that Mr. Stenmore?
Right?
Yeah,
the study.
This looks like the master bedroom.
It must be. Look at this smoking jacket. Yeah. That's not a servant's cloak.
Yeah, that's a fine swell. Where's the dust man?
I'm going to spot hidden. I'm not walking further into the room, but just scanning for a pile of dust anywhere.
I'm going to do that. Yeah,
is anybody else in the room with Stan, or did you all go in and stay
I've
back?
I've walked in, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all took a step in.
Okay, so you all took a step in, but you're kind of staying away because you don't know what the hell you're dealing with here.
Okay. I got it. 42 under 45. Spot hid.
42 under 45.
My tens dice was on a zero, and then I rolled my ones dice and it hit it and knocked it. I still succeeded, but not it would have been extreme. So I'm just a regular success.
Extreme listening, spotting.
Extreme listening. All right, so you see.
God, that would have been sick.
Extreme spotting.
But instead, I rolled
just the Requiem for a 69. Dream thing where your eyes dilate.
You see the rug. You realize this rug is from the conservatory. You start putting two and two together, and you realize that the valet, like when he probably had a bout of madness, must have taken this body, wrapped it up, brought upstairs, has no memory of it. And this guy is just laying here.
He's like,
when he got attacked,
when he lost time.
Yeah, he lost time.
Mr. Stenmore's upstairs and he knows he's up there,
injured,
but he's not.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore. And so
he was
he's
ripped
just,
apart by the mummy.
You do. Oh, does somebody get an extreme or no?
No.
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 Almost.
We would have, but Mary Lou ruined it.
Okay. Well, not for Mary Lou's ruining. As you're standing there just sort of examining this, you see there's a chimney, like a little fireplace in this room. And there's a grate. And suddenly, like, you hear this wind, like...
Uh-oh.
And little bits of ash start moving like out of the chimney from the wind. They move, billow down the chimney, and you see them like flow across the room and go over to what's left of the face of this man and go into his open mouth. And the corpse just sort of like spasms and then just rolls onto its belly and starts scrambling towards you.
Okay. Launch bucket. Yeah. Launch bucket.
Operation launch bucket. He's in like a flesh husk.
Now he's in.
He's
now he's
not gonna do anything.
Now he's in sort of a flesh mech, piloting.
He's in the Hellraiser
body. A flesh mech.
My God.
But yeah. I don't know if the water can in some way sog him up enough to get him out.
Yep.
The sight of this corpse being animated by this dust is enough to provoke another sanity roll here.
Yeah,
trigger
that's
another
fair.
Sanity.
Let's get into it.
I failed too.
Failed.
Yep.
Oh. Guys, Bridie rolled a one.
Oh,
Bridie.
Puff his nails.
I know it kind of doesn't matter when you just pass or fail a sanity check, but I just want that.
I like a critical being. I like a critical is usually like automatic minimum. I'm going to say you take no sanity damage. However, Barindra, Polly, and Stan, you take 1d6.
Here we go.
Here it is.
Should you get
ready
five
for
or six?
Highest d6 roll of the whole series.
Here comes Ross's here six.
Ross, the classic sixer.
Yep.
Wouldn't you know it, against type, I rolled a one.
Oh, nice. There he goes.
What'd you get,
nice
Mary Lou?
I got a two.
Two. But Joe?
Five.
Okay.
Here he goes.
All right, so I'm gonna save you for last. This thing is scrambling towards you. The sight of it alone, it throws all of you asunder, except Bridie. Bridie, in this moment, you're brought back to when you were like scrambling with those tarot cards. You feel like you've seen this in the cards, the dead walking. I want to talk through very briefly before we get to Joe's brutal failure, how this manifests for each of you. And keep in mind, this is a role-playing moment. It's not like it manifests by I shoot it 10 times. How does this, we'll start with you, Polly. Like, you see this and you only lose one or two points there. What is this? What happens to you?
I think she scrambles away. So her the first time experiencing this sort of monster, she thought, you know, fight back. So when it went for her, she didn't dodge. She tried to counter it, and it ripped her for 4 points of health. So this time she's too frightened, and she scrambles back, maybe like trying to kick at it with her big heavy boots, but she's getting away from it this time. It's got the better of her.
Just backing up, Barindra.
Yeah, you failed a sanity roll. I think for a moment it's as the Barindra's job is crushing, destroying, pulverizing, breaking things down, and he's seeing something sort of reconstitute. And it's as though he has a flash of something crawling out of his furnace or out of his crusher, clawing towards him, seeking some sort of vengeance for all the things that he has pulverized into dust. He's just sort of like, no, he'll rack and pulverize and destroy my very soul. And you just hear kind of coming out of him a litany of Arabic as he is kind of just praying. As you're just kind of hearing like, inshallah, and you have no idea what he is saying, but he's just kind of again backing away, the bucket trembling in his fingers.
I love this, a life's collection of bones that you've ground to dust, reanimating in this moment in front of you. Stan, with a loss of 5, before we narrate this moment for you, I need an intelligence roll. And as always, this is a role that you want to fail. You want to be too dumb in this moment to fully understand the brunt of these supernatural horrors.
Of course not. 27 out of 50.
You smart.
Just smart
idiot.
Enough, as it turns out.
And you go temporarily insane. I think in this moment, you look down and you see your body is covered in ash. You're just like, unclean, unclean. And you grab the bucket of water and pour it all over you to get the ash off. You want to like clean,
that's amazing.
Clean yourself of
that's
the ash.
That's exactly what I was going to do. Like when you were like, how does this manifest? I didn't think about the dust on him, but I was going to like take the water and dump it basically. Or like, you know, just be like, give it to me! And like spill it while trying to grab it, you know. Amazing.
It's all over me! It's all over me! These people, Whitlock!
He's on me!
Mr. Whitlock!
Mr. Whitlock! And now we're in it. This thing is going to scramble forward and go after Bridie.
No.
Bridie, do you want
Bridie
to
in the back.
Dodge, fight back, do something else? It's just like, flip to its belly and it's like crawling towards you very awkwardly.
Neither of these are great. I think she's not a fighter. I think she's got to try to dodge. She's going to be trying to be scrappy here.
All right,
scrap it up.
Give me that dodge. That dodge ram.
It's not good. No, failed.
Okay, well, I failed as well. This thing is very janky as it's trying to swipe at you. Now, all four of you will get a chance to try and do whatever you want in this moment. Keep in mind, though, Stan, you are temporarily insane throughout the length of this encounter.
What does that mean?
Well, I rolled 5 rounds.
Does it mean I have to act insane, or you control me for 5 rounds?
More B than A, but I'd like to give you some agency here. Just play up this situation. You are unclean, and you need to clean yourself. How can you heighten that from round to round? In the meantime, Barindra and Polly, you see this thing scramble off the bed and go right after Bridie. You start to shake off that moment of insanity. What do you do?
having been disarmed of my bucket, I'm wondering if I'm like stumbling backwards out of this terrible room. Is it possible that this is a modern enough house to have piped plumbing? And
you would think, even though you're not used to a fancy house like this, if there's a master bedroom, there's a master bathroom.
Okay. And it would be close.
I'm just running across the hall, like kicking down doors, trying to find access to more water.
All right, so you run across the hall. You would think the most likely one is this room to the south. You pop it open. Sure enough, it is the master bath.
And if there's a faucet, then I begin to fumble with it to turn it on and see if I can fill it up to...
I love this. So Stan flips
something
out.
About fighting this person.
Does the ice bucket challenge. You grab the bucket out of his hands and just run in there and start refilling it. Polly.
Yes, yes.
Well, I see this bearskin rug on the ground. And I think she had one good play earlier that almost worked. And she's like, wait, maybe it'll work again. So she's going to grab that bearskin rug and try and like tackle Lian,
like,
body
subdue
check.
This thing.
Subdue this thing. She's like, I burned you. I burned you. I'll burn you again. And she's going to try and wrap it up so that it can't scramble across the floor.
Okay, it very feebly tries to swat you away, so give me your brawl roll.
Eight, which is an extreme success.
Wow.
Eight under 80.
All right, I'm going to say that you are able to wrap this thing up and pin it to the ground.
Yeah,
you
she's like...
This like animated
crocodile Dundee with like a crocodile, you know? She's like, as it's trying to death roll, she's got it wrapped up in this bear skin. And it's like arms and legs.
Shaking violently, but you have it. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so cool. Bridey.
We got to find a way to draw the dust out of this thing, right? Like, it's in a human body. I would imagine it's not. This is me opening it to the. To the gallery here. I would imagine it's not, the water's not going to do anything while it's inside a human mech. Flesh mech.
Flesh mech.
So, how do we get it the fuck? I mean, the tarot card thing had that thing about fire. I don't know if, like, burn the
I
body.
I think burning it, maybe, is what gets it out of the body, or...
That's my thought. The other thought is I try to, like, haul ass to the study and try to find, like, a book or whatever he used to try to quickly, you know,
I mean,
scan and try to figure
got
it
that
out.
Candelabra.
Yeah. You can read.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So you want to like, you feel like Polly has this under control. We've lost Stan for the moment. You want to go looking for this private study?
Or I try to burn this guy's head right now.
I mean, I think speaking from the gallery,
yeah.
It could be right, but I think the fire created it.
Yeah, right? Fire might make it stronger.
Fire would hurt it. Now, also,
the fire burnt the actual
mummy
corpse,
right?
And
so, but
the
yeah,
dust
but you might dust. Not want to, might not want to do that until we have the water ready. Maybe I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna try to run to the private study.
All right, where do you think that
I'll
is?
I'll be right back.
There is a door directly next to. The master bedroom to the north, and then there's two doors further down to the south. I just like, this is why I like a map, because like, you've got to make a choice here in this moment. There's three doors. Mm-hmm. One directly next to the, you know, right around the corner from the master bedroom, and then two more to the south.
Let's assume if this is the private study, he would want to keep this stuff as like hidden away and tucked away as possible. So let's try the one that's closest to the bedroom.
All right, so you pop open the one closest to the bedroom by sliding out, and sure enough, there is a door ahead of you that is closed, but around the corner, there is a little alcove that is open that looks like a small private study.
Wow, yes. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Good choice.
It's like a cabinet that is sort of off of whatever this greater room is here up ahead. There is a large desk and a table and a cabinet.
Okay, with as much time as you'll grant me, I'm going to try to like do a spot hidden. Anything Egyptian, anything that, again, knowing that she's kind of got a little bit of a background in this stuff.
Yeah, what languages do you speak?
Well, speaking of Egyptian, I speak Gaelic. Mm-hmm. and Latin. It's not a lot, but I got a couple points in Latin.
Okay.
That's cool.
All right, let's start with the spot hidden.
Okay. 39 under what I believe was 55. Yeah.
All right, so
regular.
On top of the desk, you see a pile of miscellaneous notations all written in strange foreign looking languages. One of them looks kind of Latin-y, but it's not Latin. But it also, there seems to be like right next to those notes, translations. And the translations are in English from something called Book of the Keys of the Work by someone named Zosimos.
Zosimos, there we go.
That's the one.
Book of the Keys of the Work by Zosimos.
I speed read it.
You start reading. And now we go to Stan. Stan, you started dumping this bucket of water on you. Polly tackles this reanimated corpse. What's his name? Barinder runs into the master bathroom to start refilling the bucket, but you are unclean. The ash is going to permeate your skin and enter you through every single pore on your body.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think he starts doing a... It's on me. It's in me. It's like he has to get it off because the dust is about to go like into his mouth, right? So he walks past Polly with the rug pinned down on the ground and just like looks wide-eyed and it's just like, it's on me! It's on me! And he starts ripping his clothes off, like his top layer of clothes as he comes storming out of the room and he hears like
water.
Like running water, and just like turns wide-eyed and busts into the bathroom while he's filling up bucket.
just like the strapping, you know, dude.
Occupado!
And he's pulling off like his outer layer and just like slamming it down onto the ground, and he just like looks wide-eyed at the bucket and at I think that probably is about his round. Taking a piece of clothing off and stuff.
All right. Let's kick it to Barinder then real quick as he comes in eyeing all of this water shirtless.
He's looking at the bucket like he's just about to grab the bucket again, basically.
If we can assume that the bucket has reached a substantial level of fullness.
Sure.
Oh my God. No, the madman is poor. Poor Whitlock has come to rip it out of my hands again. I gotta get past him. I'm gonna try to push past Whitlock to make it back into the room to just empty the contents of this.
I need the bucket!
Into the flayed
face. You got
face.
A whole bathtub,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got a bathtub, baby. Go take a bath.
What's a bathtub?
All right, give me a.
Wash basin.
Let's do an opposed dex roll just to make Could sure you can get by Stan, unless you wanna try something else.
Okay, great. Sure, I like an opposed dex.
I like an opposed dex roll because he, you know, who knows what he's going to do here, but he wants that bucket. So you want to just like kind of
give him that bucket.
You want to do a Barry Sanders here, get around him.
That's right. Give me that bucket. Okay. Here we go.
I love Bouts of Madness where one of the characters is just hampering the investigation. Like, you're just slowing it down. Like, come on, man, we need this water.
All no, I do need is the water.
All right, what kind of success or failure did you get, Joe?
I got a failure.
I rolled a 99.
Oh my
no!
goodness.
All right. Well, let's see what your dex is. You're okay. Well, your dex is over 50. Only 100 is a fumble. However, that is a failure. So I think you topple into him. Oof. I think
I think it's a fumble on a 99 or 100.
Oh.
I think Ross is right.
Okay. Well, I think this is going
to
be
spread out to 96 and to 100 if you have left under 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 96 to 100 if you're under 50. I thought it was just 100, but either way, I think that this moment is
Michael?
Where you both failed and yours like in fumble territory. You just crash into him and both of you go tumbling to the floor.
Yeah, right, and the water spills on the ground and not on me.
Yeah.
Splash. And not on you, so you're still unclean. Unclean!
I'm unclean!
Polly, with your extreme success, I'm going to say you still have this thing pinned down.
Yeah.
What do you want to try to do with it here? It's like kind of struggling against you, but it doesn't, whatever's animating it isn't strong enough to make it coordinated.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's left. I'm like alone here wrestling.
That's crazy.
With this,
wrestling a corpse. Crazy.
A mummy in a bear skin. She's kind of like, you know, trying like a cop, sort of try and straddle it and hold it with her knees together and its neck and head down with her hands and look around to see if there's something that she could like tie around it to like try and like straitjacket like, it kind of
like tassels on along
maybe
the bedding
from
or
the
something
bed. Yeah, does the bed have the Scrooge curtain?
Yeah
if there's anything or like a tie or like
yeah of course
yes
of course yeah, we'll say yeah, there's yeah. like tassels everywhere hanging from like a canopy bed.
Great. Yeah, ropes,
a pile of duct tape.
There's
just like right
tape.
In the corner of the room.
Yeah, maybe she
bungee
she
cord.
Pulls down a cord with a tassel on the end of it that's around his like canopy bed and tries like lassos the head and tries to tie it closed so that it would have a harder time escaping, and she could maybe pick it up or drag it or something.
Right, just you want to lock this thing down.
Right,
yeah.
Go ahead and give me a dexterity roll. How quickly can you? Turn this to a knot. It's one thing to get it down and wrap it around while you're trying to hold it. Can you actually
struggling? Yeah.
Get a good sailor's knot on it.
43 under 65. Regular
All right,
success.
You like a present. You wrap this thing up and it's tied and now it's struggling against the knot. We go to Bridie. Bridie, you are in the private study. You found these notes. You found the translation. Let's go to the map here so I can show you what you find.
Oh, juicy.
Give it a read.
Oh, the handout.
Ooh.
Okay, hold on. I got to get a good zoom going because this is... Does this have the thing where if you scroll down, you see the actual text of it? No.
But if you click on it, it should be zoomed.
You'd think so, but
I've got a zoomed version here.
Uh-huh.
Hold on, I'll get there. Hold the phone.
Love a good handout.
Oh yeah.
Love a handy. Out.
Love a handy.
I mean to say that.
God damn it, Jesus.
Someone else read it.
Joe, you're gonna have to read it in an Irish accent.
You can also do one of these. What to make it larger.
I mean, it doesn't even want to de-shrink at this point. I just see the word hando. It's so big. Oh wait. and this little window is not doing jack shit.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, but do it as me.
Do it as you. Okay.
Hence, it is evident that stupendous secrets lie hidden in nature and in the different creations of nature or of God. And it would be much more to our credit if we looked into these and investigated them instead of indulging in revelry and debauchery. The resuscitation and restoration of form is difficult and arduous, possible indeed, but not to be accomplished without exceptional skill and industry. The following is the method of its revival. Take the body of that which has died and let it be whole in all its parts. Make it to ash over fire of sandalwood. And calcify it with white pitch and myrrh and gum arabic.
One
Ukiya.
Ukiya.
Ukiya? Nakia.
One Ukiya for each rattle.
Mm-hmm.
With flowers of sulfur, lapis solaris, and sol ammonia.
Ammoniae or something? Yeah, ammonis.
Ammoniae. Yeah, ammonia. And sal ammonia, one ukai. Let them be mixed and cooled. Then there will be produced an ash ground finely. And when the name of the creature is spoken, it will rise up to take that form which its spirit recalls. And it will be by name. And it will be by name do as you command. Yet you must put it down again when the need is satisfied, for it frets and grows weary. And in this way, any beast or plant may be recalled from its death into a semblance of life.
And right next to where it says, and when the name of the creature, like in the margin, in a different color, is written Nebusamek.
Nebusamek. This is really flesh, and it's called resuscitated, renewed, and restored flesh. It was from the beginning flesh, but mortified, destroyed, and reduced to coals, to ashes, to nothingness. And yet from that nothingness, it is made something and is reborn. Truly in the light of nature, this is a great mystery, that a thing which had altogether lost its form and had been reduced to nothingness recovers that form and becomes something from nothing.
From nothing. And then we're back to Bridie.
From Zosimos, concerning palingenesis was the heading on that. So what do you gather from that, Bridie?
That whatever the body that houses this thing, when burned, will release it. The problem is we don't have all that shit. The sandalwood and the gum and the whatever. Like, how essential are those components going to be? Here's what bothers me the most. I want to throw out this, is that I've got this pre-generated character. I love her. She's amazing. It's the first time I've ever had a character in Cthulhu with magic points.
That's so sick.
I have 16 magic points. But when you go down to spells, it's just like a deck of tarot cards. So it's like, no! Like, I get what they're doing. It's like, you could take this character and keep going and suddenly can't do shit with these magic points.
But you know something now that we didn't know before, which is that, and we knew that, what's his name? Stenmore tried to get it to do what he wanted by calling its name, right? And now we know its name. Maybe, and it says, it will, by name, do as you command. But you must put it down again when need is satisfied, for it frets and grows weary. Maybe you can tell it to fucking go to sleep.
Yes, and I'm not in this room, but rattling around in the pocket of Barindra Bosu is the tooth of this mummy.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Cut. To Stan Whitlock, sprawled on the floor, inches away from a puddle. What do you do, Stan?
He just starts like
rolling in it.
Yeah, rolling in the puddle, like a stop, drop, and roll. Like he's on fire, and he's just like rolling
so
in
great.
The puddle.
It's so crazy.
You're just in the middle of this while she's tackling.
Get it off me!
We go back into the master bedroom. Polly, you've tied this thing. It was like limply struggling, trying to get out inside of this bearskin rug that you've knotted with a tassel from the canopy bed. And all of a sudden, as you're holding it down, it like grows limp. And you look up and you see a cloud of dust coming out of the top of the bearskin.
No.
And making its way back to the chimney where it goes up.
Oh, Jesus Christ! It's gone! It's gone! It went up the chimney.
Bridie runs in. I know exactly how to stop it.
It's gone.
Polly's covered in Stenmore's blood.
It went up the chimney. I had it. I was going to burn it. It went limp. The cloud, the ash cloud, it came out again. And it flowed up the chimney. It's gone.
Well, job well done, I think. Just wipes hands.
What do we do? Where? It could be anywhere.
It could be going back to Mr. Lange. It knows him. Maybe it's going back to Mr. Lange. We've got to make sure he's all right.
Let's get downstairs.
Yeah. And she's going to go. She's going to run down the stairs to Mr. Lange.
If I see y'all emerge, I guess Stan Whitlock is still thrashing around on the floor like a like a fish on a pier.
Yes.
I will maybe try to gingerly pick up the bucket to refill it, and that's maybe when I see y'all dashing out of the bedroom. It's like, Mr. Whitlock's in a bad way. Where are you going?
Leave him. The ash cloud, it went up the chimney. It left. The body is... It's down again. I'm afraid for Mr. Lange. I'm checking on Mr. Lange.
All right.
Get that bucket. Okay. If it comes back and it's only dust, we can get rid of it.
Polly, you go running across to head for the stairs. Barindra, you get up and you're trying to assess the situation as you refill the bucket. Stan, you start to shake out of this and come to. Bridey, give me a luck roll.
Oh, yeah. Got a pressed shamrock and a tiny little notebook. 37 under 75.
You 75 luck?
That's right. She's Irish.
Luck of the Irish.
Luck of the Irish.
You come out of the study. You hear them talking about what to do next. You turn to the right and notice that the door to the north here is cracked. And just beyond it, you see what looks like a sarcophagus in the next room.
Yes. Great.
And you hear Polly. Yeah. This is all happening while you look out there. Polly is talking to Barindra, and Stan is like getting up off of the floor and touching his bare chest that is like lightly damp from rolling on the floor.
Yeah, Bridie kind of peers past and you sort of rack focus from them talking to the to the door. She starts walking towards it and opens it up once again in there.
You open the door and you see a library of sorts, but dominating the center of the room is a large wooden, presumably Egyptian sarcophagus covered in painted hieroglyphs. And the lid of the coffin is set to one side. There are books all over the place, books on history, the Middle East, alchemy, all sorts of antiquities, journals everywhere. The shelves are very dusty. However, you look in the coffin, or sarcophagus, I should say, and lying in there is the ashen gray man. He's just like lying with his hands across his chest. And his eyes are just open. Those sockets are open and just glaring at you.
Everyone, you should take a look at this.
I'll come in. Are we out of initiative?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, he'll come walking in. He has his shirt off. He says, I don't know what happened. I saw it and then everything went black.
Maybe Polly. Maybe Polly like ran down to the stairs and saw that Mr. Lang was where she left him, and there's no cloud of ash coming to ensorcel it. And she'll head back up to where her friends are talking.
Yeah. I'll walk into the study right up behind oh my God, I forgot your name already. Molly, what is it?
Polly.
Brody.
And Bridie.
Bridie, yeah. Right up behind Bridie. Just,
what is he? Where is he?
And
does he look
he
familiar?
He looks over the corner and sees like the gray man in the sarcophagus and just like snaps like back for a moment.
That's him.
Startled back.
Why is he just laying there? What's he doing?
And he looks at Bridie.
Well, how do we kill it?
I only read how to create dust. I didn't read how to stop it.
Remember, water. We need water.
And I think I'm there with the bucket the as I come in.
Yeah.
He's a, there he is. Dump the water in the sarcophagus. There.
And I think
then maybe we put the lid on right away.
All right. Okay.
Approach.
Stan, you get the bottom. I'll get the top. You throw in the water, and we'll shove it closed.
Oh, wait. 1 second. He's going to grab the bucket. Do we just
close it? For a second, he doesn't give it up. He's like, can I trust you with this?
Yeah. What if we just close it? Just close it and walk away. Take Mr. Lange and get out of here.
And leave this thing here. What if somebody finds it?
Somebody already did find it. We're not going to destroy the whole thing. We're not going to get rid of this coffin, are we? It's going to be here either way. I don't know if the water's going to anger it. And then it comes after us.
I don't want to anger it.
To burn it is to free it. Perhaps if you lock it in, that's as best as we can hope that it would return to its slumber.
It was this man did it. It's not the man in that coffin. It's the man mutilated in that room. He's the one that did it. He's already dead. He can't do it again. Right?
Look at Bridie.
Right?
I mean, according to the stuff I read, we could always take that and destroy it. No one will ever be able to do it again if we can imprison him. Troy, is there a way to do, like, this is such a cop-out, but, like, you know the, like, idea roll or the no roll, just something that we have, like, an actual sense of.
Yeah.
Or even if it's the occult thing, I mean, just something to get one last little light bulb.
Absolutely,
here.
Yeah. Try it.
It seems
a no
like
roll.
It may be personal confusion based upon the information that we've got. It may be personal confusion based upon the information that we've got. But if we seal this thing and burned it, does the information that we've got from the Book of Zazimos imply that we destroy it or that we free it?
Mm-hmm. All right, so give me a no roll, Brady. We'll start with you.
That's intelligence?
It's an education roll.
Oh, no, education.
Education.
Oh, all right.
That's no.
It's a 52. I'm going to spend 2 points of luck and make it a success.
Nice.
Okay. You think about your tarot card reading. A hobby that most people probably find peculiar, except those who really believe in it or want to believe in sort of good fortune. And you think about the time you've spent analyzing these cards and what they really mean. And you gather from this material here that you've discovered and analyzed all over the course of 5 minutes that there is great power in knowing this creature's name. There's great power in knowing its name to both bring it to life and possibly to command it to go away. But your friend Stan is right. Like, you got Lange. This thing is inert right now. You could just get him and get the fuck out of here. You risk everyone's life if an attempt to control it or stop it fails. So you feel like you have the power to do it. But it's a decision you have to make, whether or not you want to exercise that power or get back to life.
And in an attempt to control it, would that also count for if we were attempting to say, like, be free? Like, be gone? Like, you know, we don't know.
Vanish,
don't know.
Go to sleep? Yeah.
You know that he, a scholarly gentleman, as the guy downstairs said, he tried to control it and it came after him and tore him limb from limb. So even he, a practiced scholar, couldn't figure it out. There's a very good chance you'll attempt to do it and it will annihilate you.
I think that if nobody ever knows his name, he can never be woken up again. I think we don't burn him. I think we burn that piece of paper that says his name and we forget it and nobody ever says it or even thinks it ever again.
Right. And we kill the footman.
What?
Wait, who said that?
Stan?
Wait, what?
No. Okay, let's at least put the lid on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'll seal this thing away.
Yeah.
And I'll strength check that thing.
And so
compressed air reseals.
All right, so we just see the view from the lid as the four of you close yes. it
and vacuum packed.
And take that piece of paper, and Polly's going to take a match from her pocket and hold it out for Bridie.
Yep, Bridie holds it over. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Yeah.
Nice
accent.
And you head back downstairs. The door to the house is open.
God.
Humbert Lange is laying there. And outside, you see the footman standing there with several police constables. And he says,
"Them!"
Yeah.
This motherfucker. They did it! They did it to this man!
And just starts murdering, and they all just train firearms on you. And we black out.
Oh!
What do you think happens to our investigators who, when given the chance to stop an ancient evil, decided, perhaps wisely, to walk away, but instead were thwarted by this insane footman who maybe held a grudge for getting slapped a little too hard?
Oh, shit.
I mean, you guys have no chance, right? Your argument, does it hold up in court? Do you get out? Do you serve time? Are you in prison for life? Do you start to put up a fight and the police kill one of you? Walk me through it. Any one of you can go.
Yeah, I'll pitch. I think that there's an angle here. I think there's an angle here where we're okay. Maybe it's a die roll.
Yeah.
But, all right, here's what I would do in the moment. I would not fight.
I would...
In the moment. I would not charge the armed police officers, and I would try to rely on the reputation of Lange to work in our favor. Mm-hmm. So that might be a die roll, but I think that there would be character witnesses that could testify to all this stuff. The servants could all testify that he sent them home, and that would be strange in and of itself. I don't know. I think it's a possibility that we could, after incarceration, be released. It's also possible we could never be released. So.
I think a role makes sense, but I also agree that Polly would not physically fight, even though she loves to fight physically, I think, in this moment. But she would stand up for us and say, like, you know, we were just chasing our employer who was obviously unwell. We have a lot of witnesses back at Lange Dust Yard that said, like, something crazy happened and he ran off. And we have a witness in the policeman who we said were looking for our employer. We, you know, lied and said he drank too much, but he was unwell. We didn't want to ruin his reputation. We saw him run in here. So we entered to find him, and we have no idea what happened upstairs.
There's a good case.
And then the footman asked us to help, said that his master was upstairs hurt.
Yeah.
And he asked us to help. And when we went up, he was already dead and just mangled. And it was probably the footman that did.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though.
Who had the motive? We didn't even know the guy.
I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but here's the thing. Like, I feel like historically and societally, like, we could have the best.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
if they feel like blaming us.
We're still.
It doesn't matter.
The underclass.
It's wrapped up. I am of the same mind. I think
they're not
going
to.
As soon as the guns of the constables are trained on us, Berinda is like, we're doomed. It's over.
Yeah.
Like, if I fight back, I'll be shot. If I stay, I'll be hung. Like,
But Polly knows. She sings her songs. She sings the songs every weekend. She, like, knows the power of a good story. So, like, if we... What's a better story, I think, is, like, a footman goes insane, kills his master, and then tries to pin it on some service workers. I think that's maybe a better story.
And it's a compelling tale. It's one for the broadsheets to titillate the citizens of London. I wonder, yeah, would this be like a luck roll to see how well we do in court?
Yeah, how about a group luck roll, which would be old Stan Whitlock once more.
The evidence is stacked
up against you, but you have witnesses. But the fact that you are the below working, you know, you're working class. It's just, it's going to be tricky.
With both of you guys. I do think that with both Ross and Rob that, like, it's probably hopeless, but I do think that Lange would have some pull with police officers, you know, and so there's a chance that that could work in our favor. So I believe a luck roll is sufficient. Here we go. God, wish I didn't have to roll this.
I wonder if the degree, before you roll it, I wonder if the degree of the success, does that do anything? Should we have some real fun with
sure,
this?
Of course. Like,
okay, here we go. Let's tell the end of our story.
With a die roll.
The dice as our guide.
Yes.
Joseph.
What have you done?
95.
Are you fucking...
We're dead! Yeah, we're swinging for this one.
Oh my 95. God.
5!
We tried to do the right thing.
I do wonder if with women, what I'm thinking is, for Bridie, almost a fate worse than death is they put her in a convent. Like, they do that thing where they're like, crazy ladies, go away! And then they... Put her there.
Oh man! Well, it doesn't. It seems like it doesn't go well at the trial, and perhaps some of you end up in the gallows. And I like to think, like, we cut back to that moment as you're just being all these guns trained on you by the police constables, and we go back up through the house, the empty house, all the way to where that sarcophagus is. And those hieroglyphs around the coffin begin glowing as if they are there to lend power back to the injured Ashen Revenant. It is his place of rest where he can regain his magic and regain his power, just pulsating as you're led away into the night. And then months down the line, on a dark, rainy day when some of you are led up the stairs to the gallows, perhaps Berindra still has that tooth in his pocket as the noose is put around his neck.
And maybe just even there, like, bearded from his time in jail, hasn't seen his wife. He has a wife. She's on his sheet.
He's crazy.
You could see maybe just mouthing there into the tooth. It's like the desperation in his eyes from his time in solitude, the injustice of it all, the damned injustice of it all. Just whispering in his final moments as he's led up to the gibbet. Rise from your tomb. Rise from your tomb. Ancient and sepulchral, lay waste to our enemies. They have made us hang for crimes undone. Wreak your vengeance on those that have done this as the hood goes over his head. Wreak your vengeance on all of England who pulled you out of your tomb and made your restless slumber wake.
The crowd.
Even on this rainy day, strange little dust clouds start to circle the area. Are they imbued with some sort of supernatural energy? It's unclear, but far in the distance, we hear the call.
Dust ho!
As another dustman does his job. And that's the end. of our little story.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, what a scenario!
That was
Man, that was cool.
That was cool.
That was awesome. Oh,
I love this game.
I can't believe that I like found the picture of the mummy unwrapping party and was like, the Victorians are so weird. They love mummies.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
We set it up perfectly. Perfectly.
Just amazing. Thank you, amazing. Troy LaValle.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you,
guys. Thank you, Troy.
That
great
was
work.
Awesome.
Nice keeping. We say that's some nice keeping.
That was some good keeping. Yeah. Good keeping.
Supremo keeping.
Chaosium makes it easy. Check them out, chaosium.com. You guys know the game. Get into Gaslight. You might be like, oh, I don't want to Victoria. Look how much fun you can have just throwing yourself into a different setting. It's really, really interesting the way conflict unfolds. And at the end of the day, what got you, you weren't trying to be heroes anymore, which you shouldn't be. But what got you is you're the lowest class. You know, that's really what got you in the end. And, you know, there's a world where if you had been a little bit more kind to him, you know, maybe he doesn't go crazy and tell the cops. You just walk away into the night and then this revenant comes back anyways because it hasn't been destroyed. But had you tried to...
Ollie hit him right in the face.
If you try to say its name, it's an imposed power roll and it gets a bonus die. And all you need is a success and you end it. But when you fail, it just tries to annihilate you and probably succeeds. Cool. Yeah, I mean, that first combat you had with it last episode, you guys did enough. You only do minimal damage to it, like one or two points each time you hit it, even if you do 8 points. But if you hadn't done so much damage, it does another attack that is like an AoE attack, but it didn't get to do that. So instead, it moved on to possess Humbert. So just a lot of different ways it could go. A lot of fun, awesome though. Thank you guys for playing. Thank you for watching.
Awesome.
We'll be back real soon. Go get some Gaslight.
Yeah.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.